Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Jeff Bradbury Show, a podcast dedicated to helping you amplify your impact on the world around you. My name is Jeff Bradbury, and if you're a creator, innovator, leader, or entrepreneur searching for the right tools, strategies, or inspiration, you are in the right place. Each week, we sit down with influential individuals who are shaping our world to uncover the stories and strategies behind their successes, all centered around one powerful question. What does it truly take to make a lasting impact? Now, before we dive into today's conversation, please take a moment to subscribe to the show on your favorite podcasting platform. The Jeff Bradbury Show is available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, or you can watch the full video interview on our YouTube channel by searching for The Jeff Bradbury Show. Your support helps us reach more people and continue bringing you these valuable conversations. This show is more than just an interview. It's a forum for sharing an idea and legacies that are shaping our world. So thank you for being here. Let's get started. My guest today is the inventor of Caroline's Cart, a game-changing, patented, special needs shopping cart designed to provide an inclusive and accessible shopping experience for individuals with special needs. She's been featured on Today, CNN, Inside Edition, and CBS News. And you can find Caroline's carts at stores such as Walmart and Target. I have seen them all over my retail shopping experiences. They are absolutely amazing, and I love seeing parents taking advantage of them. Now, she's sharing her story through her nonprofit called Caroline's Cause, where she challenges audiences to lead with empathy and prioritize inclusion in everyday life and business. It is my pleasure to welcome onto the podcast Ms. Drew Ann Long. Drew, how are you today? Welcome to the podcast.
Great. I'm so happy to be here. This is going to be a lot of fun. I just know it.
I am so excited to have you on here, not just as a podcaster. We had a chance to talk as both parents of students that have challenges in this world. And we're going to get into all of that. We're going to talk a little bit about business today. But first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself. You have had an amazing journey. Talk to us a little bit about who is Drew Ann Long.
Well, thanks so much. So I'm a married mom of three. I live in Alabaster, Alabama. It's a suburb of Birmingham. I have two typical children and one severely disabled. All of my children are grown now. My youngest is in college. He's a junior in college. Caroline will be 25 next month. So I've been doing this special needs thing a long time. And then my oldest daughter is married in Dallas. So yeah. October 9th, 2000, I found myself thrust into a world that I knew nothing about and a world that I didn't want to be in. Caroline's birthday, the day that my precious baby was born. Wow, you know, no one wants to have a severely disabled child. That's okay. That is not what we pray for. I love her no less, but, you know, wow, it was, you know, it's a life adjustment when you're thrown a curveball with a child with a disability. It's a major life adjustment.
Take us back to that moment. I always remember, what happens when the doctor sits you down? Did you know? Did you not know? How did all
that didn't happen? Know. You know, she was my second. My first was perfect in all the things. So she's two. We're like, it's time to let's have another baby. When I brought Caroline home, I was told she was perfectly healthy. I didn't know one thing. Looking back, you know, that's nice. And I like that. And I'm thankful for that. Some find out right then and there. And you know, gosh, that's just devastating. Well, it's devastating at any time, but I didn't know. And I brought home this perfectly healthy baby for a couple months. And then I was like, something's not right. Something's wrong. No, you know, because I was a mom before, I knew in the depth of my soul that it was bad. Didn't even want to talk to my husband about it because when you say it out loud, it becomes real. And I thought, I'm just going to live in Oz as long as I can and pretend that this is not happening. But I knew it was bad. So around when she was one, it just things were really bad and she was regressing and losing function and skills. And we finally got a diagnosis of Rett syndrome, R-E-T-T. It's genetic. It's completely random. It happens to anyone, anytime. I'm not a carrier. My husband's not a carrier. It just happened. That was the baby that I was just supposed to have. And she's precious and we love her in every way. It's been very hard and challenging. But, you know, but it is what it is. When she was four, I wanted another baby. You know, selfishly, I was like, gosh, I don't want my typical daughter. when something happens to mom and dad, to have sole responsibility. I mean, and my precious son knows that. He's like, gosh, that's why you had me, mom. Of course, I would have had 100 kids. I started a little late. But then I had a healthy boy, you know, all the nerves and all the, you know, gasps. If you ever have a child, you know, after a special needs child, everybody wants to think you're crazy. But he's perfectly healthy. And we got it, you know, we became a special needs family of five. And we it was challenging. I'm sure you know if your listeners have children with disabilities. But it is what it is. And you find the happy and you find the good. And you do the best you can and with the cards you're given, with the hand you're dealt.
What was that like when your son came? And I'm sure in your heart you had to think, is this going to happen again? Is it not?
For sure.
You know, again, I'm saying this from experience also, like, here we go.
Right. Well, you know, Caroline was 4, severely disabled, and I became less afraid of it as time passed. You know, when you realize that you love them the same, I had a typical and a special needs, I thought, you know, if I have a special needs child, that's okay. I can't say that enough. The love is no different. Did I want another special needs child? No, nobody wants that. You know, I'll fight anybody that says, gee, I hope I have a special needs child. Nobody wants that. But I was very thankful. I prayed for a healthy baby and I got a healthy baby. And, and when you have the family dynamic like I have, you do think of the future way before you have to, way before you should. You know, you may be, you know, a lot of people, when their kids are young, it's not even on their radar. It was on my radar from the second, from when she turned one, thinking, oh my gosh, I've got to, you know. So, that's not what typical families do, but that is on the radar, especially in his family. What's next? What's down the road? What if something happens to mom and dad? And I'm blessed that I have two typical children that love Caroline as much as we do. And I know that she'll be cared for.
I remember when we were first told that we were expecting, and I was driving a Prius. And then within a few weeks of that, I had to plan for having a minivan. And I've got all of these great pictures of my wife and I going down to Delaware because it's tax-free. And we put, you know, 3 cribs and 3 mattresses and 3 of this and 3 of that. And that was trip. I mean, it was.
And that was so your first hard. Babies, right? Your first babies.
We triplets. Triplets of us. And putting all of that stuff together, right? And so you're absolutely right. You do need to start figuring out, okay, what is this going to look like? Short term, long term.
Absolutely.
Mine were 25 weeks.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Everybody make it out of long term, I would assume, Drew?
Yes, for mine, yeah. You mean Caroline? Was she long full term?
Full termish, yeah.
Yes, Caroline. Well, all my kids were, yes.
And so putting that together, you start to become, you know, parent of student with child with challenges, right? And you need to start to find your, you know, we always call it trying to find your tribe here. How did you build your support group as life was happening, whether you're a mom of 2 or mom of 3, finding people to support you, finding other parents with children who have similar challenges. What was that process like for you?
Well, you know, I think back in when my son was born in 04, social media was just coming out. So you hear a lot of bad on social media. I love the fact that social media gave me community. I love all of my friends, of course, but I think it is so important if you have a child with a disability or whatever you're facing, everybody has something, whether it's a child with a disability or something else, find that core community that is walking the same road as you. You know, when I'm having bad days or Caroline's in the hospital or her feeding tube falls out, turn to that community before I turn to any other community, you know, my friends that don't walk this walk. So I think, you know, building community from the moment that you can and staying in touch with them and keeping that, that those friendships or those avenues, I mean, my gosh, we all hold our phones and we have all the apps. I think that is critically important. And it just, sometimes it makes your day better, or it makes the walk seem like, hey, I am not alone.
And it also gives you that opportunity to contribute to the community. I mean, I've turned this podcast into doing multiple hospital NICU based podcasts where I've been able to support, because those are the people that supported us. So this is how I can contribute to that community. Now, eventually you, what was the story here? You're walking in the shopping center and you said, we need to figure something out here. Take us through the creation of Caroline's Cart.
Okay. I had three littles. My husband traveled for a living. I had to quit my job when Caroline was just so severe. You know, there's no daycares for that. So I found myself at home with three little kids, a husband that traveled, and Caroline doesn't walk, never has. So I would just carry her in and use what the stores provided. The fun carts, the race cars, you've seen them all, the fire trucks. When she outgrew that, I just went to my store manager in my small town and said, hey, you know me. I'm sure there's a special needs shopping cart out there. And he said, I'm sure there is. I said, would you buy it for me? We're to that point. And he's like, absolutely. I circled back in a week. I had done my own research and I couldn't find one. And he said, there's not a special needs shopping cart. Right then and there, I was like, you got to be kidding me. I mean,
for those listening here, and on the video, we can put something up on the screen, but can you describe what a Caroline's Cart is?
Okay, so here's a picture of it. It is literally just a modification of a traditional cart. So think of the billions of traditional carts that are out there that, you know, that has a little tiny seat. It's just taking that seat out and putting in a much larger seat and adding two more wheels. Caroline's Cart is the only shopping cart you'll ever see with six wheels. And that is just for the weight to support, because Caroline's Cart holds adults up to 250 pounds. So it just helps it maneuver better. So it's just a very simple modification to a traditional cart for someone that needs assistance in the store.
And what was that process like, going from I have a need to I have a concept to building this? Where did this thing come from? Who creates this thing for you?
I'm just going to say it was horrifying. I mean, I thought it would be so easy. I mean, I talked about it for 6 months and my husband's like, look, what are we going to do? I drew it on a napkin and I was like, this is not hard. And I knew I didn't have the time or the resources to do it, or I wouldn't know. Who knows how to do something like that? So I did some research, and there's four shopping cart manufacturers in the United States. Went to all four of them with a drawing. I went from a napkin to a piece of paper. I literally drew this on a piece of paper with a stick figure in it. And they all dismissed me. They all said, not interested. Don't see the need. Go away, lady. And I was like, what? You know, and for your listeners that don't know, and I know, of course, I know that you know, the special needs community is the world's largest minority group.
Yes.
Often underserved, always overlooked. And I'm like, wait a second, big corporate America, this is a huge need. Just because you don't, I could not believe it. So I thought, you know, my husband and I talked about it another couple months, and I said, I can't stop thinking of this, David. I said, if retailers are going to have the fun carts and the electric scooters and the variety, why would they? I mean, those gave me hope. Those gave me hope. I'm like, if they're going to buy those, certainly they'll buy something for the world's largest minority group. So I'm like, I'm doing this. I have no idea how, not a clue. And when corporate America shut me down, I said, watch this. I mean, I really thought it'd be easy, and it was very difficult. My first prototype, it took me like 6-8 months to even find a company to make my first prototype. I got it out of state. That was $28,000 and you couldn't sit in it. There goes our savings, gone. Got my first prototype in my dining room. I was like, what do I do now? I don't have a manufacturer. They're not even, the only four in the entire U.S. aren't interested. So I went to social media in May of 2011 and took pictures in my dining room of this cart that looked very similar. It's on, you can dig. It was orange. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you can find it online. And it was instant. We need this. We want this. Where do we get this? We have to shop with this. This would be a game changer. So I just built the demand and started that. So I narrowed the four shopping cart manufacturers down to one. The best, the biggest was in North Carolina. So I took my prototype now. So the first time I went, I had a drawing that they said no to in person. This was in person, people. So took my cart. Trip two, this is a year and a half later. They told me no twice. They're like, we are not interested, lady. And I was like, oh, it is game on. I mean, that motivated me. That pushed me to be like, you have no idea. It was just figuring it out. I continued on the social media and that was good and bad. It was great that that they kind of confirmed, like, yes, this is a good idea. It wasn't just me. Right. And they supported me. And it was, you know, and the bad part was there was a little bit of pressure there because I thought, gosh, David, I'm getting emails from out of the country, South Africa. This lady was emailing me all the time. We got to have this and stuff. And I'm like, oh my gosh, So yeah, then I just had to figure it out.
In the back of your mind, you knew that the day was coming where you actually needed this. I would imagine that while you were going through this process, Caroline was still able to be transported or?
No, because she had outgrown everything. So, you know, now time is just flying and it took me several years to get this off the ground. So I either did not bring her or then I was forced to bring her wheelchair in, pull the cart, push the wheelchair, hire a babysitter. So yeah, during my years of getting this off the ground, Caroline didn't have an option. You know, there were no options for the older, not just Caroline. I mean, the millions of older children that grow into adults, there was no option during that time.
So let's take a left turn here. Essentially, again, for those who are listening, stand behind a shopping cart, turn 180 and sit down, right? That's the basic idea here.
Sure. Yep.
How does somebody get into this? Is there locks on the wheels? How do you go as a parent if you have a 12 to 20 year old that is 100 pounds plus? How do you get them from the car into a Caroline's cart?
So does the child walk or the adult walk or not walk?
I don't know.
Because like walking, you mean just walk right up to it. I mean, it does have brakes on it. Most of the brakes usually aren't used, I would say. I mean, they're there if you need them. And you literally just walk them up, turn around, sit down, and their feet rest on that platform. You know? So it is so simple, it's almost stupid simple. You know, it is just a big seat with the basket, you know, just so. Now, what if you don't walk? Caroline doesn't walk. Many stores over the years have, they know their customers and, you know, you live in that community and you grocery shop all the time there. The family would park into the handicap, call, and they would bring it out to say, okay, here you go. So then you don't have to bring in the wheelchair and transfer and all that. So that's a tremendous, wonderful service for the older kids and adults that don't walk.
There you were, giving a pitch, and eventually somebody said yes. Take us to that moment.
The manufacturing or the retailer?
Let's start with either.
So if I don't have any manufacturer, have all this demand, I got to get some carts out there. Found a guy in Georgia who made lumber carts. Excuse me. And he said, I've never really made a shopping cart. But he agreed. He's like, I can do it. It's simple. I can do it. 100 of my first round of carts cost $100,000.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I have no money. And I've got patents along the way. Oh, we'd spent all of our money. We were in debt. So we had to go to our 401k. Oh, it would have died if we didn't do that. I know everybody's like, you never touched that. We didn't want to. We didn't plan to, but it was our only option. So some carts, I finally have some carts to get up. Walmart told me no, Kroger told me, everybody told me no. Now nobody's going to buy them. I'm like, oh my gosh, the need is tremendous. They said, oh, we like it, but we only buy from one shopping cart manufacturer and they're in North Carolina. Well, I didn't dare say that they had told me no twice. So I was like, oh my gosh. I mean, so much crying and just gnashing of teeth because I'm like, what have I done? I mean, we're going to lose our house and nobody will buy me. And I didn't know the rules of the game. I'm a mom from small town Alabama trying to figure this out. So my husband and I were like, we're going to have to go the smaller chain, the mom and pop. The ones that just are locally owned. And that's what happened. We strategically seeded the market with 88 Caroline's carts. The first one was sold in Chicago. And it was small chains that took a chance that I would call up and say, hey, I got a small little flyer. People need this. This is for the special needs community, your special needs customers. So I got 88 carts. The rest of them burned in a fire. That's a whole nother story. But we strategically placed them throughout the country to build a nationwide demand. I didn't want them all in Alabama. I didn't want just an Alabama demand. I needed a nationwide movement behind this product. So 88 were sold to the small chains that no one's ever heard of. And I was done. I was like, okay, well, there's nothing else I can do. I mean, about a year later, my telephone rings and it was North Carolina saying, okay, now we have Walmart and Kroger and Target calling us saying we want Caroline's cart, but we won't buy from that lady. We'll only buy from you. Third trip to North Carolina, I got a manufacturing contract.
Wow.
And then it really took off. But they made me work for it. They made me work for it, buddy.
And how old was Caroline when that moment happened?
She was 12.
I'm not completely familiar with her situation. She understands what's going on?
We don't know. I choose to believe that she does.
Okay.
She doesn't walk or talk, but she's certainly not, I hate this word, but I'm going to just, she's not a vegetable. I mean, she is aware of her surroundings. She will laugh out loud. She for sure it has a mental disability as well. So we tell her everything. And I do believe that when we're in stores and we're using it or we'll see somebody using it, tell her. And I choose to believe that she knows that this is her legacy.
As a mom, that is an amazing, well, as a dad, but that is an amazing story to hear. And one that is very inspiring. Look into the camera. Talk to the moms and dads that are out there listening to this that have a story of their own, have a challenge of their own, have that moment where they say, we have this going on. There's got to be an answer for this. And they keep hearing no. And I'm saying for the people who are looking to build their next Caroline's cart, who are looking to get their next insurance approval for whatever the procedures are, speak to the community right now.
Say that no is just a word and don't give it any power. The amount of rejection that happened during the journey of getting Caroline's cart off the ground is truly unbelievable. I learned early on that I am the only one that can control the word no and the power that it has over me. I knew that these people did not know or did not fully understand the life of the special needs family. How could they? They're not one. I don't fault them for that. I didn't know until I was born into it. What I fault them for was dismissing me so early. Number two, you have to own it. Whatever you're doing, whatever situation you're in, own it. Do not wait for someone to come solve your problems, to come do whatever is it, whether you're facing schools, you're building a business, you're fighting insurance companies. Own it, own it, own it. I found myself out on an island in Caroline's cart. I did not ever plan to do what I did. Okay. I thought I would draw something on a piece of paper. Corporate America would embrace it, give me a hug, and be like, lady, what a great idea. Nothing is farther from the truth. So I had to learn while I was on this island to own what I was doing. And that was a very defining moment for me. I don't know if you can understand that, but I think no matter what you're doing, what sometimes we don't want to do that. It's hard. Or we, you know, it's blah, 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 blah. Stop. Figure it out. It's not easy. You're going to fail. I mean, my gosh, how many times did Caroline's cart fail? And then I was under the bed sucking my thumb, crying, wishing I had never done it. You just have to believe in what you're doing in the depths of your soul and figure it out. I know, I wish I had a better 3 words to say than that, but that is my whole life story, is just, okay, no one's going to help me. It's fine. I'll figure it out. I'll do it my way. Had I not done that, I mean, if I had accepted no from day one, I wouldn't be talking to you and there would be no special needs shopping cart in Dubai today. And Caroline's cart is in Dubai, if you can believe it. So just take ownership of what you're doing.
You've gone from mother of, I still have a hard time saying this, even though it's my story too. Mother of child with special needs to entrepreneur to now your public speaker businesswoman. How are you feeling?
Overwhelmed sometimes. I mean, it is the most joyful feeling. You know, just being a parent is joyful. And so many twists and turns, so many things I just didn't think would ever land me where I am. But I am grateful and I've learned a lot. And I want to be the voice for that person to be like, well, I mean, I don't know if I can do that. Are you kidding? I didn't have a business plan. I didn't have the money. I learned how to accept rejection and failure. So it's a fun place to be, first and foremost, because I want to inspire people to be like, that was a nobody mom in small town Alabama who refused to take no for an answer. She took ownership of it and she figured it out. So I appreciate you saying that I went from this to this to this, but I think the message I want to give is just look at her. Look at that lady from that. My gosh, I ran this company out of my minivan. I didn't have an office. Someone said once, why did it take you so long? Because I'm not corporate America. I worked on this when I could, when my kids were asleep, napping, school, you know. I didn't have the luxury of doing this. And I mean, my Honda Odyssey was my office. So yeah, I want to encourage those people out there to, it can be done.
The website is drewannspeaks.com. We're going to make sure that we have links to this and all the products and how you can check this out. And certainly to some of her other, you know, podcast interviews and videos and stuff over here on our show notes at teachercast.net/podcast. Drew, the story is extremely inspiring, not just from the entrepreneurial sense, but a lot of, you know, as I said before we started, we have a lot in common with being a parent of and going through all the different challenges and figuring things out. I remember myself going, it's not a double stroller I need. Like, I need, how do we do all of these different things, right? Like We never got the triplet stroller. We got the two plus the one, and it's okay. Well, what happens if there's only one parent and all of these things going on? But the answer is, you know, we'll put it this way. The question I've always gotten is, how do you do it? And my answer is, there is no plan B. This is what you have. Run. I would imagine your life was the same. Here's Caroline. Go, right? Like this is going to happen. This is what life is going to look like. There is no plan B.
And when people said, I just don't know how you do it. Well, you'd do the same thing if you had it. I don't know if you ever heard that. I don't know. I just don't know how you do it. Well, I don't
think a week has gone by in 12 and a half years that people don't
hear it.
How do you, and you're like, you don't have an option.
You probably still hear it every day.
Every day. Every single day. And it's always, but that's who we are.
Think, you know, I think special needs parents, I think we're made a little different. You know, I think that we have, over time, you develop a thicker skin, or you're not just fighting for yourself. I mean, I have an innocent baby 25-year-old who wears a diaper. You know, I'm her voice. I have everything she has is because I have fought for it through the system, through insurance, through Medicaid, all the things, you too. So I do think we evolved to be a little different. Maybe this is a typical family. I don't know if you agree on that, but
every single day I agree with that. Including today when, you know, you're sitting there, literally I've been saying, like, I'm going to war against the school district to fight for, you hear it's the voice of the voiceless. Oh, they have a voice and they're speaking through you. Your job is to amplify their needs.
That's
the shield that you pick up.
Yeah.
And your shield has, has a handle and two extra wheels, if you will.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What was it like walking into your first Target or your first Walmart? And there it is.
Hard to believe. Really hard to believe. Almost like I was in a dream or a movie, like, gosh, I really just wanted a special needs shopping cart at my own store. And I wasn't even going to do this. You know, it's just flashbacks of all the sacrifice, all the hard, all the no vacations, all the wondering if we could pay our bills, just flashback. And it never gets old. I mean, I still get emails every single day. Got one today. What app was it? TikTok. I'm new to TikTok, but I'm on TikTok. And I reshared it. Just someone saying, couldn't do it without this. Could not shop without this. And that is, it's powerful. And I feel like that, I just want to be out there shouting and screaming that I was not corporate America. Wow. If small town, nobody, Alabama mom can do something like this, I hope I can give hope to others.
If a store is listening to this and would like to purchase one, do they reach out to you? Do they call North Carolina?
They just go to carolinescart.com.
Okay.
They just go to www.carolinescart.com. There's a number how to order.
And do you find that Walmart's, again, let's talk about the bigger stores. Do you usually find one of these or do they usually buy half a dozen?
My Walmart in my small town has four.
Wow.
Four. So I think every Walmart has a minimum of two. But I've heard of one having six. So I think it depends on the footprint of the store. They probably run all the numbers with the population. I mean, they know the foot traffic. So,
Well, in talking to my family here, I said, yeah, I've got this wonderful person coming on. Do you know about these? And my wife's just like, oh yeah, we have one of those. So they've made their way to Connecticut and look, congratulations for all of the success. It's not easy. You have an amazing, amazing story and an amazing voice. And if anybody wants to find out more information, you can go over to drewannspeaks.com. And of course, again, we're going to put all the links out there. But Drew, I'm going to give you the last word here. Look right into that camera. Speak to mom. Speak to the entrepreneur. Speak to anybody out there that's saying, how can I advocate for my child?
Don't be scared. You know, you have to know what you're doing is not only for your child, but it's for the greater good. And that's where I came with Caroline's Cart. Yes, it was for Caroline, but it was for the greater good. So your battle that you are fighting for, whatever it is, whether it's your child, business, whatever, it's going to springboard. You know, you don't see, I couldn't see, and you probably can't see, all that it's going to come, the ripple effect is always good. When you do good, I believe there is a ripple effect on that. So stay focused and remember, yes, I'm fighting for my child, but this is for the greater good. There's going to be a ripple effect of that.
We want to say thank you so much for having Drew Ann come on the show and share her amazing story. For everybody listening, you can learn more about all of her amazing work over at drewannspeaks.com. And we're going to make sure that we have all of the links in our show notes over at teachercast.net/podcast. And one more thing before we go. This podcast is all about the people with big ideas and the stories behind their impact on the world around them. If you're looking for actionable playbooks and productivity systems to amplify these ideas on your own brand, I invite you to subscribe to my weekly Substack newsletter, Amplify by Jeff Bradbury. You can find it at teachercast.net/amplify. If you found this conversation valuable, please take a moment and subscribe to us and leave a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It's the best way to support the show and help us bring these important conversations to more people. And remember, you can find the full video of each episode over on teachercast.net/YouTube. This show is a platform for creators and leaders who are shaping our world. If you or somebody that you know is amplifying their impact and has a story to share, we invite you to connect with us at jeffreybradbury.com to learn more about being a guest. So thank you for tuning in today. And remember, your passion gives your voice power. Go amplify it.